Nope, you're not saying? Darn it, I'm trying to pump her for information. Like, no, I'm not. No.
That was a strong head shake and a dirty look from Anne to Jason.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. This is the Craft Will Never Die podcast. My name is Blake Weber, and I'm joined by Nick Key, also known as Key Woodworks, and Jason Hibbs, also known as Bourbon Moth Woodworking. You can find me at the Weber Wood Shop. But we also have a special guest with us tonight, Anne Briggs, also known as Anne of All Trades. And we're super stoked that podcasting is one of those trades, so she could join the conversation tonight. Anne, welcome to the show, and what's going on?
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I feel honored and privileged to be here this evening.
You should.
I am. Trust me, I am. I cried myself to sleep out of joy the first moment that I received the email, actually. So
we get that a lot.
Good, good. You should. Well, what is going on is
you're moving.
I am moving. Yes, we have just purchased a farm in Nashville. We have been living in Seattle for the last 7 years. I moved here from Taiwan, and yeah, we're moving to Nashville. So basically what's going on in my world right now is a whole lot of stress and packing and trying to sell my house and trying to figure out how I'm going to move 3 full shops with huge pieces of equipment and all of my animals and all of my farming equipment 3,000 miles.
So
that doesn't sound so
hard.
Let
me get this straight. So are you waiting till your house sells to move down there? Or are you just like hitting the road and then the house will sell when it sells?
No, we have to stay here until the house sells because this place requires a lot of upkeep.
Yeah.
And we really are, I mean, well, depending on who buys it, I guess it really, in some circumstances, wouldn't matter. But we do really want to sell it as a working farm. And so I want to be able to hand it over to whoever, like, without, you know, coming into the situation that I came into 4 years ago, which it was a total dump. So.
Yeah.
I watched your YouTube video, and first of all, I had to say that was an awesome video just from the standpoint of kind of summarizing everything that you've done there and everything that you've learned how to do there, which I thought was just awesome. But then just complete tearjerker at the end.
Oh, you know, I feel like it's not a good, like, YouTube video if you don't laugh and cry.
Yeah, there was, I'm not going to lie, it got to me, tugged at the heartstrings there a little bit.
I did not watch your YouTube video.
Jason doesn't watch YouTube videos, but
yeah, I know you don't care about anything except yourself, so it's fine. I was a little worried about filming that one, actually, because I was worried that I would just actually cry the entire time. Because I'm not sad to be going. I'm actually very, very, very excited. But I mean, when we moved here, I owned a few tools and had done a few woodworking projects, but I basically had never had a pet before. And had never really had a garden before. And I learned literally everything that makes up my everyday life here. So, you know, even also just like thinking about all the work, like the funny thing about that video is it actually only really shows the last year and a half that I've been on YouTube, because before that I didn't document what I was doing. And so there was a lot of stuff that happened before YouTube too. But yeah, it's going to be.
When did you start the Instagram account? Around the same time?
No, I started my Instagram in 2012, and it was because I had just started woodworking. I was getting super, super into it, and I felt like the more that I got into it, the more that it isolated me from my immediate community. So the people that I was used to hanging out with weren't used to hanging out with Anne the woodworker. They were hanging out with Anne the tech worker. Oh, that's such a weird way to say it. This kind of came out of left field, and so the people that I was hanging out with didn't like share that excitement or that passion. So I was really just looking for friends, and I had no idea that social media as a business even existed until like maybe 3 years ago. And so 3 years ago, I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, I had like 20,000 followers on Instagram, and I decided to see if I could pursue this as a business.
That's a lot more followers than Blake has, by the way. I just want to say that.
Oh, but Blake has sweet pictures of his tools taken by ants, so I don't have any ants following me around with a camera.
Wait, what?
You dug deep for that.
Ants taking photos?
That's like way back.
I have
the
no
feed.
Clue what she's talking about. Explain,
I don't either.
Blake.
Maybe you should be a better friend to your friend, Jason's.
No, I mean, well, Blake's not a friend. He's just some guy we make fun of on the podcast, and I don't. I just started following him yesterday, but what is the ant thing?
That was a dry spell when I wasn't doing any woodworking, so I was getting all artsy with my macro lens in the shop one day. I think I probably went around and just like took, you know, 20 different photos to try to stretch it out post a day for a little while, but that's all.
You guys want to hear a funny story? So when
not really. So Anne.
Okay. That's how it's going to be. No. So when I got on Instagram, and I was like, I was doing okay on Instagram. I had like maybe
story?
I'm telling people the truth, Anne. I had like 60, maybe 70,000 followers. I sent Anne a DM because I saw that she was somewhat close to me as far as like Instagram woodworkers. And I was like, hey, Anne.
Physically close, we not live pretty close together. To be clear.
Intellectually.
Also well, nowhere near.
And I was like, hey, we should, you know, I'd love to connect with people in the area. You seem cool. And I wrote her this whole DM, and she writes back, and she's like, oh, that's awesome. Cheers. That's it. That's all she said. And it wasn't until months later she came crawling back to me on her hands and knees and was like, I'm so, so sorry. I didn't realize how amazing you were. Let's be friends. And then the rest is history.
And then you woke up.
That was a direct quote from when I was on my hands and knees crawling back.
Mm-hmm. The first time that I ever met Anne in person, I showed up at her shop with a keg full of cider. It was a grand old time.
It was. You can come back anytime if you bring.
No, because you're moving now. Right when we started this relationship, right when we started to get close, you're like, okay, see you later. I'm going to.
You're
going to
be over in Nick's neck of the woods.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Nick's going to have to drop by with some cider next.
Yeah. Nashville's only like 3 hours from me. That's not too bad.
Well, be sure you send me a DM so I can shut you down.
Yeah, I'll do
it. Don't get your hopes up, Nick. Don't even do it.
So I want to hear more about the new place.
Yeah, wait. I want to ask. So your farm now, how many acres is it? The one in Seattle?
The one here is just shy of 4 acres.
And what's the one in Tennessee?
The one in Tennessee, so for safety reasons, we had to like do this whole thing. So part of the reason we're leaving Seattle, not a very big part, but definitely a part, is I'm very easily findable here, which has started to cause some problems. And so part of the relocation.
Like when I found you.
Like when some strange guy from the internet shows up with holding a keg of cider and just rings my doorbell, it's weird. It gets weird. So anyway, yeah. So I won't share a ton of details about the new place, but I will say that it is basically 10 times what we have here in every regard. And I'm super, super pumped.
Was that really a problem, though? Like, people just started showing up at your house?
Honestly, the biggest problem was people watching my YouTube videos and harassing me with calls to the county and the city and that kind of stuff. Like, saying that I wasn't, doing things up to code, or that I wasn't getting the proper permits, or basically just accusing me of things, because actually,
no way.
Pretty much all that I was doing was very, very much above board and all very much aimed at helping this place and making it better. It just became very, very demotivating, because I get really, really affected by things like that. I really care about what my, our neighborhood and things like that. And I really wanted to open this place up as kind of like an education center in some regards. And unfortunately, this just turned out not to be the place to do that.
Mm. Are you in city limits or are you in county?
We are in city limits, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That makes things a little more difficult. What about in Tennessee? Yes. Is that in city limits or are you out in the country? Nope, you're not saying? Darn it, I'm trying to pump her for information so people can find her place. I'm like, no.
That was a strong head shake and a dirty look from Anne to Jason.
We are within state limits of Tennessee.
Okay.
That's a big state.
All right. I always wondered about that with, like, we had Jimmy on, and Jimmy's like, he just has, like, everybody over to his house. Like, open.
Yeah.
I always wonder, I mean, like, it's probably different with you. I don't want to play the sex card, but you are, like, a female versus him, like, this old dude. But I don't know that I'd be comfortable just being like, hey, I'm offering classes. Here's my address. Come stay in my house with me, random strangers.
I think with Jimmy, it's a little bit different because he's kind of in the middle of nowhere. Whereas I live in the middle of the city, and so it's like there's a much greater number of people that can easily access me. To be totally honest, it's actually most people that are going to come and stop by, it's completely innocuous. And I absolutely love the idea of having such a big impact on people's lives that they would want to stop by and you know, meet or hang out or anything like that. But it just becomes super weird when people who know everything about you and you know nothing about them know where you live and where your family is and that kind of stuff. And 99.99% of people have only the best intentions.
Yeah.
But they just, a few of them don't really quite understand how that kind of stuff comes off.
So
let's, I want to hear something cool about the new farm. What's exciting about it?
The most exciting thing is that I get to build my new shop. And so,
you're starting with the woodworking shop or the metalworking shop?
Well, it will be all encompassing.
Oh, one big shop.
So you're going to build it from the ground up. It's not an existing building that you're like redoing.
Nope.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, there's some unknowns. First of all, we have to sell this place for me to be able to afford to do that. And if, you know, we also have to sell this place for a certain amount for me to be able to afford to do that. So ideally, I'm going down to Nashville in a couple weeks and I'm going to have a few people over to kind of come up with a game plan. And then we're going to submit to the city for permits and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, the most exciting thing is probably building my own shop. And so as long as everything works out with the sale of our house and getting, you know, the right permits and everything to build something new, and I am planning to build it 1 square foot larger than April Wilkerson's shop. So
one square foot.
Oh, dang. She's got a huge shop. What's her square footage, like 6,000 or something crazy?
No. It's like 38, and then she has a patio, so it makes it like almost 4.
Okay. Whew. So you're going to go like, what, 38,200, 4,000?
Yeah, I will figure out what her square footage is, and I'll find an 8-foot increment larger.
Are you
going to
do like a pole barn like she did, or are you going to...
Yes. Unless, of course, there's a bidding war over my house here in Seattle, in which case I will be building a timber frame shop.
Okay. That would be sweet.
Would you do it
yourself, obviously?
Yes, but I would also hire like a team of probably Amish people to help.
Mm. Are there a lot of Amish people in Tennessee?
Not in Tennessee necessarily, but there are some adjacent, and I have a lot of connections within that community, so I should be able to find some good peeps.
Are they the timber frame experts?
Yeah, there's tons of them.
There's a lot more traditional building techniques within the community, I think.
There are a bunch up here in Kentucky, and they all travel.
What part of Kentucky are you in?
I'm in central Kentucky, so Lexington.
But I
won't tell you if I'm in the city limits or out in
the country. Don't tell her where you live.
No.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah. No, I'm totally exactly the same way about people, you know, finding out where I live. I'm always anxious about doing videos showing like my address and stuff like that. I don't even like to sell stuff to people like that want to come and try stuff out at my house or anything like that. I get like kind of weirded out about anybody knowing where I am. I don't know. It's kind of
I throw caution to the wind. I'm just like, yeah.
Really?
I mean, I get DMs all the time. People are like, hey, I'm driving through, you know, Portland. Can I come see you? And I'm like, well, I don't live anywhere near Portland, but come on down. And I had some guy stop by the other day, Sam. He's from Texas. He follows me, and he's like, hey, man, I'm from Texas. I'm coming through there. My son goes to college in Oregon. I want to bring you some beef jerky. And I was like, cool, man. And him and his wife stopped by. They brought me beef jerky. It was awesome.
Was the beef jerky good?
It was really good, actually. But exactly. I did have this. So the one thing I do sometimes is I get a ton of like hardwood scraps that I don't use because they're like small or whatever. And so every once in a while I'll post on Instagram like, hey, I got this pile of hardwood scraps if anybody wants to buy them. And I had this one guy DM me and he's like, hey, I want these. And so I sent him my address and he came by my house and I started talking to him. He's probably going to listen to this podcast and have hurt feelings. But I started talking to him and I was like, so what are you going to build with these? And he's like, oh, I don't do woodworking. I just wanted to come see you. That's kind of creepy, right? At that point, you're like, well, this is weird.
That's exactly why I burn every piece of ebony I have.
Yeah. Burn it up.
So, Nick, I saw you on Instagram today. You were working on those drawers or the cabinets. Did you finish those? Did you get the stain on them?
I got stain on the fronts. So all my drawer fronts now have stain. This is still the birch dresser because I just have not had time. Last weekend I shot my last wedding of the year, so 2019 wedding season is a wrap. Yes,
nice.
So now I have got some weddings,
more woodworking.
Yeah, I've got to finish up, you know, editing. I edited one last night, and I think I have like a couple more left in the queue, so I got to do a bunch of editing. But that means Saturdays are now freed up for Saturdays in the shop. So
shop Saturdays.
Here on out, turn on the heater and start to work. But yeah, I did get stain on one of my dressers, drawer fronts, and I didn't like how it went on.
Using the general
Did you
finish?
Spray it?
Yeah, I used General Finishes dye stain, and I brushed it on like normal.
I thought you were spraying.
I'm going to spray the whole carcass, but I was just going to brush the door fronts because I was going to do the front and backs. It didn't work. It didn't look right. Like, usually I'd never see brush marks from foam brushes when I'm doing dye stain, and you can actually see like lap marks. So
oh yeah, that is odd.
Sucks. So I'm
like, I want Ann's opinion on this. So Nick is building this Baltic birch dresser, and yeah, he did dovetailed drawers for it.
Yeah.
But he bought the drawers pre-dovetailed yep. and put them together. What are your thoughts on that? Because you're Miss like hand tool do-it-yourself queen. I'm giving you an opportunity to make fun
you're,
of it.
You're asking the person who has a video called How to Hand Cut Dovetails.
Yeah. I want to kind of start a feud here.
Let me just interject and just tell you that my very favorite comment on my video about how to cut dovetails by hand was, you should just buy a jig. So I was just like, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. If you're making money or you're trying to actually finish things in a timely manner, then do whatever it takes to get it done. I mean, there's still an epic amount of quality that you can include in your furniture regardless of how you build it. Obviously, if you're building it like crap, then let's burn right. it.
Yeah.
That was very diplomatic of you, Anne.
Oh, well, I mean, I've never cut dovetails with a machine, but there is a ton of stuff that I know how to do by hand, and I will do with a machine all day, every day. In fact, I was just teaching a couple weeks ago in Kentucky, by the way, and it was like a hand tool only class that was at a fairly well-known hand tool place. And we 100% went into the machine shop and did some of the operations on the machines because they're just miserable things to do by hand. And that's not really, it's not important that you do them by hand. So anyway, all that to say, there's a lot of ways to skin Jason's cats.
What were the things that you did?
So one thing is that on my whiskey, I was teaching the whiskey cabinet that I've built many times now. In the back of the cabinet, you have to make one really, really funky, tiny dovetail to hide a rabbit that you have to cut in the back. However, if you dovetail the cabinet together and then use a rabbiting bit on the router, you can actually rabbit it all out after the cabinet's assembled. So that was one of them. Another one was we did some of the tongues and grooves for some of their door panels for them. We did some of the surfacing for the, you know, to resize their material to help it fit with some. Yeah.
But when you're teaching a class, I mean, that probably just makes sense for time wise, right? I mean,
yeah, basically it was just like we had, you know, if certain students were falling behind or whatever else, we were just helping them kind of catch up.
Okay. It's like, here, you're here for the hand tool class, but you're obviously not good at it. So let's go over to the non-hand tools. Kind of thing.
Yeah, obviously. That's the best way to say it.
I look at hand cut joinery, whether it's dovetails or anything else, like something that you reserve for when you want to show off. So like if I'm building a cabinet because I need a cabinet, I'm not gonna go through the trouble to do any of the hand cut stuff or whatever. But if I'm building something that it's more like a showpiece kind of thing or just to show off or just to practice the hand cut joinery. Those are the rare times when I'll bust out all the hand tools and the chisel and the saw and all that kind of thing to try to do it by hand.
Oh, yeah. If I'm building like cabinets for a house or shop furniture, it's rabbits and pocket holes all day long.
Exactly.
But, you know, if I'm building
I have no problem with pocket hole screws if it's more practical.
I don't cut a lot of hand cut dovetails because I don't know how to do it.
I would be happy to teach you if you
Anne showed me one time, like, really quick, and she made it look really easy, but then I was like, I ain't got time for this. I'm trying to make money.
Yeah.
So, Nick, what are you going to do then if you're not liking how the stain came out?
Well,
you have a plan?
Yeah, I mean,
burn it.
Yeah, I'm going to burn it down. Well, on top
actually,
of...
Actually, do what Jason did and just set it, like, on the corner of your bench and then open all the drawers at once.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the best way to...
I mean, I do that with every project now, just, you know, to be sure it's going to look good.
I can't open a drawer on Instagram now without some Yahoo being like, oh, don't open all of them at once.
That's right.
Yeah, we all know that's the way to get 1,000, like, million likes on your post, too, is just destroy it.
Yeah.
I'm the Jerry Springer of the woodworking community, apparently.
Wait, Nick, I really do want to hear all about your drawer stains, but can I divert the conversation for one moment
to
talk to you about wedding photography?
Yeah, sure.
Tell me about the worst bridezilla. So I've done some photography myself.
Yeah.
Tell me about the worst bridezilla you've ever experienced.
You know what? I've been a pro photographer for about 10 years, and I have not had one bride that I would classify as a bridezilla. I mean,
you know, Blake's a wedding photographer too.
Yeah, Blake is also.
Are you really?
I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
No way.
I was gonna be, but I thought, you know, it's a little overdone.
Yeah, so. 2 out of 3.
Portland is too full of him.
Well, so is Lexington.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, hipsters unite. Oh, that is really unfortunate. I'm so sorry that you haven't had a terrifyingly bad experience.
No, I haven't. I'm really good at reading people on the front end, and I have turned away some red flags have come up for some brides, and I would definitely foresee them being a bridezilla and be like, nah, I'm not doing your wedding, and just pass completely.
I bet Anne was a bridezilla. I could see you as one of those types.
Really?
Yeah. She just seems like the type that would be really particular, like hand-cut dovetails on the invitation. Like, everything's got to be.
We were so poor when we got married. We made everything completely from scratch.
Doesn't surprise me.
And they all had dovetails, by the way.
Yeah,
of course.
Of course.
I'm just kidding. Okay, anyway, back to the drawer stains.
Yeah, so on top of the stain not looking the greatest, I water popped everything because the stain I'm using is water based, so it's gonna raise the grain. And I popped it, sanded it down, and it was smooth as glass. Then I put the stain on. Well, it raised the grain even more. I don't even know how that's possible. I've never had it actually happen where I popped the grain, sanded it back, and then it raised again. I was like complete
water based stain, right?
Yeah. But I used water to pop it, then I sanded it back down. And it was smooth again.
Maybe you sanded too much?
How long did you wait after sanding it to put the
stain on? Maybe like an hour? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would have thought that'd be dry. I don't know. So it's kind of a blessing because I got to sand it down anyways because the grain's raised. And it feels awful. So I'll have to get it smooth again.
Well, it is a plywood piece of furniture, too.
Right. But... everything else I've done for this client has all been plywood, and it's all been super nice. So I can't give them crappy plywood furniture that goes with their nice plywood furniture.
Anne's face is like, you said plywood and super nice in the same sentence, and Anne's face is like,
I'm not. I actually am just sad that for once I'm out of my element, and I have no Anne-splaining to give you about your staining, because I've never stained anything.
Well,
maybe that's your problem.
Yeah.
Don't stain it.
I mean, if it was my choice, I love how the color of that birch raw and the exposed plies on it is really nice. But, I mean, the client wants what the client wants. And
what are you finishing with after the stain? Is it like a lacquer or what?
Enduravar.
Okay.
So general finishes.
Because the one problem with birch when you just clear coat it is it looks good, but it just yellows so much.
Well, if you use like a water-based, like a polyacrylic or something like that, that won't yellow, or even like
the wood itself. Like if you just take a piece of birch and set it in the sunlight, it just turns yellow. And I
suntan.
Yeah,
it'll happen eventually, no matter what clear coat you put on there.
Yeah, I guess so. But
what'd you use last time on the last project that came out so flawlessly?
Exactly the same stuff. I mean,
oh really?
Yeah.
Same plywood, same stain, different result.
All the same. Different results. So
it could just be the batch of
plywood. Wrong day of the week.
Yeah, I don't know.
The way they laminate up ply, sometimes the top veneer layer's got a little extra glue on it that didn't get sanded off, and that can create like streaking and stuff like that. I've had that happen before.
You got to stir the stain before you put it on.
I have to.
I stirred. Because I taped myself stirring for like 3 minutes.
For the gram?
No, just because I'm doing it. I'm on top of making these things. I'm trying to do a YouTube video only using a GoPro. So.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been a challenge because a GoPro is so wide.
Why just a GoPro?
Just to do it. I mean, so many people.
It's like saying I'm going to build a piece of furniture with just hand tools. Like, why?
Because why not?
Exactly. Why?
So many people, like, okay, I'm a wedding photographer, and I'm a filmmaker as a day job, so I have access to tons and tons of cinema equipment, but people are like, okay, I can't make movies because I don't have the equipment like you do. I don't have an FS5. I don't have, you know, a $10,000 rig or stuff like that.
So you're trying to show your followers what
they
can do with
so what they got. I'm literally trying to make a video that shows you can do whatever you want with a $400 action camera, and it looked good.
Or with your phone.
Yeah,
do it with your phone.
Same thing. Same thing.
I don't have a GoPro.
I think the GoPro is better than the phone, though. But
so you mentioned it being too wide, but can't you narrow that? Isn't there a setting for shooting?
You can
narrow.
Yeah, they call it linear, and it takes off the fisheye, but it's not the same as if you were shooting telephoto or even medium, like on a 50 or something. I can't remember what the equivalent is on the GoPro, but it's like 14 mil or something, even maybe even wider. It's wide. It just makes something that you're used to being able to be like, I want to push in. Well, then you have to actually move the camera really close in. So it's been a little more difficult. But on the other hand, it's give me some opportunities to get some cool shots. So like I put the GoPro inside the drawer box as I was putting the drawer face on. So you actually see the screws go into the drawer face, stuff like that.
Is it true with those like new GoPros that like vibration and stuff, it just kind of cuts that all out for the most part?
So they have this thing called HyperSmooth, which is just black magic. Like when it first came out with the 7, they claimed that it was the gimbal killer, and it wasn't quite there. But with the 8, they have HyperSmooth 2.0, and it's unbelievable stability.
Like, I've seen guys put a GoPro, like, clamp it to a board and run it through the table saw, and it looks, like, crystal smooth. Like, no vibration, nothing.
Yeah. No, it's crazy.
And the wide angle actually helps with that, but then the stability on top of that.
It's unreal.
It's kind of the combination of it, yeah.
So, at work, I'm not allowed to shoot anything handheld because I have just really bad shakes. Like, I'm terrible. Like, seriously, like I'm not allowed to film anything handheld. And if
that's because you drink too much, buddy.
Too much coffee. But I get the shakes. But if I'm holding a GoPro, it's smooth. Like, it's buttery smooth. It's like I'm holding a gimbal, and it's unreal.
I won't film anything if I can't film it on my phone because I just am lazy and I don't have time and I don't care.
The new phones, I mean, you can do a lot on those new phones. That's actually a video that I was thinking about doing is to show what you could do just with a phone. Because same thing with Nick, I get a lot of questions like, hey, what camera are you using? Oh, man, I wish I could afford better equipment or whatever. But it's like I started out with really, really basic equipment. And I actually use my phone for a lot of the secondary shots in my YouTube videos. And you could do a lot just with the new phones.
I mean,
I've shot almost all my videos with my phone with at least some phone footage in it.
Yeah.
And most of my early stuff was either from a 15-year-old digital rebel or my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really goes to show. I mean, it's not all about the equipment. It definitely helps.
Yeah.
But it's more what you do with it.
Well, it does help, but I mean, if you have anything above an iPhone 8 or an Android, the one after the one that exploded, if you have anything like that, I mean, that's literally better than any digital camera you could buy 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And so, you don't necessarily have the same, flexibility as if you have camera lenses or anything else, but there's even lenses you can put on your phone that'll make... that'll replicate that same kind of effect. And it with proper lighting and, a steady hand, you can take
Nick.
Really, really fantastic stuff.
That takes Nick out.
Yeah, it does. I mean, lighting is everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. What about you, Jason? What's been going on with you?
Oh, you know, Same old, same old. I'm stuck in building freaking built-ins, cabinets.
I see them. I'm seeing a lot of boxes on your Instagram.
I haven't built
lately.
A piece of furniture for weeks. I'm kind of going crazy. I'm tired of building plywood boxes. I don't do it anymore. I want to crawl in a plywood box and cry. I'm doing one right now. It's my last one for the year, and then I can actually get back to some furniture. I got some table builds, and it's all tables. I'm having, do you guys know, what's his name? Will Walker?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up, Will?
Yeah, he's coming out. We're doing a Grizzly thing. He's sponsored by Grizzly. I don't know. He's probably not going to listen to this, but somehow, I don't know how it happened, but he's coming out next week, and we're doing a build-off. Apparently, we're each going to build a coffee table. He's probably going to win because I don't care very much. and I've just been so busy, I haven't even like thought about it. He texted me the other day. He's like, hey, have you thought about your design? I was like, dude, I'm going to just start making stuff up as I go. Like, I don't know.
A rectangle? I don't know.
Jason.
What?
Do a coffee table that's made out of coffee. Do an epoxy pour.
A coffee table?
Coffee yeah, Jason's all over the epoxy beans. Pours.
I should just do something ridiculous like that. But no, but that'll be fun. He's a really nice guy. I met him at Workbench Con, so.
You said coffee table.
What are you going to do?
I'm not into the epoxy craze, but I actually want to do that because I think it's funny and possibly cool.
I wonder if you could pour coffee into the epoxy to color the epoxy.
Coffee you could probably epoxy? Use coffee grounds.
Yeah, I don't know about the water, liquid. But yeah,
could
beans
you,
for sure.
Could you create a void within the epoxy? Kind of like those old school, like, you know, like you tilt them back and forth and like the liquid inside sloshes.
Ooh, good idea.
Could you do
yeah, you
that
totally
in a
could.
Coffee table with coffee so like it was like free floating in the epoxy?
Mm-hmm. You totally could. You could put some yeah. kind of, you'd have to do it in two separate pours so you could get the liquid into it. But
Anne
then,
seems to know a lot about epoxy for not liking it.
They don't call me Anne of some trades.
Can we back up the conversation? Because I have, touche.
But oh,
I have a question about your move that I didn't ask.
Yes.
You have a crazy amount of tools, and then you have all your animals. Are you making multiple trips?
Absolutely not. One shot, one time.
One shot.
One shot.
It's 3,000 miles. I'm not driving that.
And you got
to
drive
hours.
It, obviously. So
yeah.
How are you going to do that? Are you getting friends like caravan style, like trucks and trailers? And
going to be a convoy.
Can I come on the adventure? I mean,
if you want to come, Jason, the minute I announced that I was moving, I had no friends anymore. Everyone knew how much crap I have, and they're like, nope. Bye.
Are you bringing all of the tools with you?
It kind of depends. Ultimate dream situation would be that the buyer of our house not only wants to pay full price, but also would like to pay me a certain amount in addition to that, just to literally have me walk away and leave everything as is. I have like some things that are kind of precious to me that I would definitely take with me, but I would have no problem just handing someone the keys and going and starting over.
Wow.
Just like everything.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, so that would be amazing because then I wouldn't have to pack anything because we
like
don't
animals,
have any stuff.
Animals too?
Oh, absolutely. Well, no. I mean,
you gotta take the donkeys.
Obviously, I would literally, if I'm moving to Asia, the donkeys are coming and they will live on my balcony.
That'd probably be normal over there, but.
I mean, when I lived in Asia, all my neighbors had all kinds of livestock living on their balconies, so it wouldn't be that weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, so logistically though, in answer to your actual question, if I do have to take everything with me, which is I'm sure most likely the case, I'm just going to do it in a series of things. Like I'm reaching out to some sponsors who could potentially help out with it, but we'll see if that works out or not. Because, I mean,
are you trying to get sponsored by U-Haul?
I mean,
it's not a bad idea.
No.
It's not.
You're
I have
like a tractor trailer though.
Yeah, I have a list couple. Of like 30 companies that I'm reaching out to because, I mean, if I have to pay to move it all, it will cost $20,000 minimum.
Yeah.
And if I hire a moving service, 30.
Oh,
do moving
I say
services
more than that.
Move livestock?
At least, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so that's the thing is like this came as kind of a big surprise And yeah, there's no way that I can just, especially because we also already bought our new house, there's no way I can just like come up with $30,000 that has nothing to show for it at the end of it, except my stuff is in a new place. Like, I could probably buy new stuff for $30,000.
Yeah. When I was in fifth grade, we moved from Washington to Arizona, and we moved into this new house in Arizona. And it was like, I think it was a four-bedroom house. And when we moved into the house, I decided that one of the bedrooms, which is the downstairs like guest room, I was never going to go in, ever. Because I was like, this house is new now, but it's not always going to be new. But if I never go in that bedroom, then one day in like 5 years, I'm going to go in that room for the first time, and it's like going to be brand new again. It'll like continue.
You're insane.
It'll continue the experience on. And so I
and
made
the biggest letdown ever.
Yeah. I made it like 2 years before I had to go in there for something. But it was like,
what?
It was like, this is like a new room within your house. It was awesome. So you should set aside a little part of your new property and never, ever go there.
That's crazy.
Perfect. You are certifiably insane.
Yeah.
No, it was cool.
Oh, man.
I'm the only one? Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I wish you all the good luck with moving and everything. That's an awful chore.
Nick's only 3 hours away. He's glad to help. He'll come down and drive. He'll unload your truck.
Speaking of U-Haul, I just drove a U-Haul this morning finishing up moving my parents to a little town just, you know, maybe 10 miles from me and moving. Oh, it's nothing you want to wish on anybody because it's just logistics after logistics. But
that's going to be my story for the next few weeks because my parents actually bought a house today.
Oh, man.
So we'll be moving now.
Congrats to them and to you who will inevitably help.
Yeah. Is it close to you?
It is. It's closer to me than their old house.
Wow. So, man.
Yeah.
When we moved from Arizona, because we like moved from Washington to Arizona and then back to Oregon, we were getting ready to move and we were trying to like clean out our garage. And I remember I went out to the garage and I was digging through all the stuff because you have stuff in your garage you don't even know is there, right?
Nope.
And I found this box. My dad used to work for the police force and I found this box full of all his old police stuff. And I was digging through there.
That's cool.
And I found his handcuffs. I started like playing around the garage with his handcuffs and I was like pretending to like be a cop and like handcuff things. And so I handcuffed this ironing board and then I handcuffed myself to the ironing board. And then I realized there wasn't a key to the handcuffs. And so I was handcuffed to the ironing board. And then I went inside and I was like, Dad, do you have the key? And he's like, no, I don't. And so I had to go drive around town and find a police officer. And then I had to walk up to him handcuffed to the ironing board and explain, hey, I was playing in the garage. And then he had to let me out. Anyways, moving can be a pain. That's my point. Moving sometimes can be a pain.
Yeah, that's such a relatable story.
We've all done that.
We've all gotten stuck in handcuffs from time to time.
To an ironing board. Yeah.
But so, I don't want to... I don't want to be too abrupt, but I know, Anne, you got to run, don't you?
We have like 10 more minutes. I'm cool.
Oh, whew, if you, okay.
I mean, you know.
All right. I just trying to get rid of you. Important, and I don't want to. I don't want to take up time.
Blake.
Yeah.
What's been going on over there in the Weber wood shop?
A lot of woodworking, actually. I've been cranking away on the Rockler Bentwood Challenge, the bar cart, and
the
deadline's coming up.
I must ask you.
Veneer issue.
The what?
The veneer problem. Did you get that figured out? Yeah. I saw on your Instagram you burned through your veneer. You tried to fix it.
Yeah.
Fix was no go. How'd you handle that?
Yeah, so veneer, it's touchy. It's so thin. And this is like the really thin 10 mil stuff because it needed to be very bendy. And yeah, I burned right through it with the power sander, which was just so dumb. But I don't ever work with veneer. I've always worked with solid hardwoods only. And I wanted to try something different, but I learned my lesson the hard way. And it just means that I need to add another sheet. And I'm probably going to do that tonight, actually, as soon as we're done podcasting. So I tried to do a little patch. I tried to kind of grain match it and remove a little bit of material. And I basically just made it worse and ended up with an even bigger spot. So just covering it up is going to be the answer there.
Did you figure out how you're going to finish the whole thing?
I think I'm just going natural after all that. I actually bought the R product and
what
some
color?
Test samples. the cotton white that we were talking
about. Oh, yeah.
And I just didn't like it. And the wife is a big part of the vote, and she didn't like it either.
I mean, the only part of the vote.
Yeah. She's like, it's like an 80-20 vote on her side. So, yeah.
Happy life, man.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Usually the way it works is I'm unsure. I show it to her. She has a distinct opinion about it. And then I'm like, yeah, you're right. So that's what happened this time. So I'm just going natural. I'm just going to use my old fallback, which is the wipe on polyurethane. Just build it up one layer at a time. And I always get really nice results with that.
Yeah. Wipe on poly. I mean, it's a good thing, man. I used to do everything in wipe on poly.
Yeah.
But then I switched to
the R product.
It's,
at this late in the game, it's good to know that I'm going to use a finish that I'm familiar with and that I know I can get good results with. But yeah, I'm a little low on sleep. I was up till 2 a.m. last night hand carving the... Well, let me back up a little bit. Those bent legs that had, you know, they're a curve, they're bent, but they have a square profile to them.
Yeah.
I decided at the last minute that I wanted a round profile. So I ran them over...
Ooh.
The router table, I know, super scary. After all that work, it was like, is this a good idea or not? But I decided it just had to be done. I couldn't stand the squareness of it when everything else on that bar cart is curvy and bent. So I ran them over the router table with just a roundover bit, and then in the transitions where the half laps are, I had to hand carve those so that it actually looked like two round profiles meeting and sort of going through each other. So a lot of hand carving up till 2 a.m. last night, but it was one of those things where super tedious, just cranked the music in the headphones and powered through it. And I'm just really glad it came out really nice. So happy that I just went for it, made the decision to do that round over, and it's looking really sweet.
Did you do?
Now I'm like, I'm around the bend. I can see the end of the tunnel now.
Around the bend.
Around the bend.
Bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum, bum.
Did you do a big enough roundover to where they meet, to where it's like perfectly cylinder?
I did.
Oh,
and
snap.
Yeah. It's a perfect cylinder all the way around.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. So it's actually... And the hard thing about that is that if you basically take a square profile, do a roundover bit... What you end up with is you do it perfect on one side, and then you flip it over, and now that roundover bit with the bearing wants to dig in further, because where the bearing would ride,
it's
you don't
not there anymore,
no longer
yeah.
have that surface. But I ended up switching out the bearing with another router bit and putting a bigger bearing on the roundover, and then it was able to ride on the upper part of the surface where it's kind of rounded in. And it worked great. I was able to get the round profile all the way, and then the corners, the transitions where it comes together, had to be hand carved. But then now I'm just down to sanding and assembly on this thing, and it's going to be done.
When's the like deadline for that whole challenge thing? I know a lot of guys are doing it.
Halloween, which is in less than a week as we're recording this podcast tonight.
Mm.
It's coming up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Spooky cool, deadline.
Yep.
Ooh. When you, with the design, it looks like once it's all together, if you like push on that top tray, will the thing like bounce? Like, will it flex down?
I hope not. Oh, on the tray itself?
Yeah.
No, those things are solid.
Well, I mean, like with the leg design, it looks like how it's like, you know, out and then down.
Big
on the
spring.
Bottom. Like it'd be like a big yeah. like, bouncy like baby carriage.
No, the legs, solid maple, they're solid as a rock. So they... I know what you mean. It almost looks...
That's kind of disappointing.
It almost looks kind of springy, but no, I don't think that thing's going to flex at all. And the trays, I had a bunch of people DM me asking me how solid those trays were, but they... I mean, if you imagine...
How many layers of veneer are they?
They're 7 layers of veneer now, and they're going to get 2 more layers, so they're going to be 9 layers of veneer. So they're about a quarter of an inch thick at this point, and they're going to end up a little bit thicker than a quarter of an inch. And if you imagine like really good quality quarter inch birch plywood, they're solid walnut. So they're even stronger than that.
Yeah.
They don't bend at all. They don't flex.
Nice.
I was stoked. I'm happy with how this thing's coming together. But I got to get it done, and I got to get the video out before Halloween, because that's part of the deal. So
Oh
yeah.
It'll be a busy few days for me.
Double whammy.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nick, I think we got a couple new Patreons this week.
Dude.
Patreons.
I got to say patrons.
It's patrons.
I do that backwards every time.
Every time.
Patrons. Patreon sounds like a gas
patrons.
Company.
We got a few new patrons this week. Who we got, Nick?
Yeah, we got a couple new patrons, Brandon Walker and Tyler Marshall. But we don't want to forget.
Wait, are they together or they're separate?
Brandon separate.
Walker and Tyler. Okay.
We got two new patrons, Brandon Walker and Tyler Marshall.
Okay, I get it.
There you go. But we don't want to forget our top-tier Guardians, which
Guardians!
Are Georgia Crate Company, Red Point Woodworking, and Stated Woods Co.
Yeah.
Gotta love them.
Yeah, yeah.
I
thanks,
feel
guys.
So guarded. Do you guys ever go into the wood shop and you're like, oh, is there somebody like trying to kill me? Doesn't matter. We got our Guardians.
That's right.
That's right.
Try
like
something.
Ninjas hiding around
yeah.
the shop.
Stated Woods Co. is going to get all up in your business, boy.
Look out.
Georgia Crate. Back me up.
Mm-mm.
Red Point.
Red Point on point.
Gonna put a
red
put
hot red point on, in your eye.
Red on your point. Yeah.
No, but thank you guys. We appreciate all the support and thanks for rocking this, keeping our show going.
Yeah, hey, we really appreciate it.
Speaking of those patrons, why don't we go over to the after show and hang out and all those patrons can come. And if you're not a patron. Then you stay here. We'll go have fun in the after show. You won't get to hear it. You guys stay here and listen to silence. We'll go to the after show. But if you want to join, you can become a patron. Anyways.
The after shows have been on fire lately, too. And sometimes we're like, man, that was better than the main show.
We said some things we shouldn't have said there. Like, major regrets. Yeah. It's been good.
But if you want to find us on Patreon, you can find the links in the description of the show notes. So go over to patreon.com/... What is it? Craft Will Never Die podcast?
I don't know.
Sure.
And you can you can find us over there on Patreon.
And if you need another member of the convoy down to Tennessee, give me a call.
Be careful what you offer, Jason.
I got a
Jason,
truck,
because...
I got a trailer, let's go. I can
what?
Stevie.
Jason, if you're serious, it's on like
I
Donkey Kong.
I am serious. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's
I
happening.
Get it, Donkey Kong, because there's going to be donkeys involved.
Dude, we'll put
how
my
you can
truck.
Ride in the truck with me.
And perfect. Nick's going to help you move all the tools into the new place because he's just an hour away.
So. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, dude, I will tell you that like probably 85% of the reason why I moved into the South is I can't even tell you how many messages. Well, first of all, I had to join Instagram because no one in Seattle was like ever wanting to hang out and I had no friends here and I was very lonely. Boo-hoo. I say that I'm moving down to the South and I have many, many people sending me messages being like, hey, I only live 6 hours away. Let me know what you need. I'm like, 6 hours?
And you're like, sorry, I'm not telling anybody where I live.
My parents live 6 hours from me. And I'm like, well, I'll see you guys when you come
Yeah, home. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Every time I've gone to the South, it's like hospitality central. Everyone's super nice down there.
It's unreal. Yeah. When we were down there, just every single awesome, wonderful thing that could have happened. It's just, I'm really excited.
Awesome.
It's going to be great.
Well,
but
cool.
Seriously,
we're
Jason,
for you
you're coming. We'll put my antique truck on your truck.
Let me know when.
And my bandsaw. We could take my bandsaw. How many pounds can you haul?
I don't know.
We'll talk.
Okay. Let me know. It'll be fun.
And I will absolutely be following along on Instagram and YouTube and offering moral support from California. So
appreciate it, brother.
Anytime. All right, everybody. Thanks again for joining us for The Craft Will Never Die. And Anne, we're super stoked that you could be here with us. Thanks again for joining us and telling
thanks
us all about the
me.
New farm.
Oh, yeah.
All right, you guys.
All right, and we'll go cut a dovetail or something.
Yep. Will do. Bye.
See
you guys later.